I got about 97 things to say. I hope you don't mind if I talk for a couple minutes, okay? I have had the weirdest 48 hours possible. Yesterday I was in Davenport, Iowa. You guys weren't there last night. You never did that. Anyway, I was, the night before that, I was in Cedar Rapids. And I drove down from one to the other, and I blinked, and I missed the sign for Davenport. So I hit the river, and I was late for an appointment. I was meeting some guy from, who's coming up in Texas, wants to make a film out of Taxi, right? So I turned at the river, and I come down through these little towns that are on the river between Ada and Davenport. And I come to a little town called Bettendorf.
Yeah!
Is that the town? So, anyway, the road separates from two ways to one way. And it's like a 30, 35 mile an hour speed limit. And I automatically start speeding up when it's like three lanes all going the same way. Cop stops me. I get out of the car. And I'm standing there talking to the cop, and who pulls up? But some guy with a camera goes, click! A fan of mine, supposedly, who is a staff photographer for the major rag in Davenport. So, the guys who produced the concert last night in Davenport also producing this concert, promoted. And front page of the Davenport paper is a picture of me talking to a cop who didn't give me a ticket. I was going 47 and a 35, I guess, and gave me a warning. And that's all he had a ticket for the concert. So he got my ticket, I got his warning. And I hope he doesn't get in trouble, because I really was speeding, and he was nice enough not to give me a ticket. But anyway, I finished the concert, and my brother was getting married today. That's why I'm wearing my John McLaughlin shirt. Do you like him? I usually wear turtlenecks, but today I've got a little fancy. So, I finished the concert at about 11:30. It was another one of my short, long concerts. And I was 185 miles from there to Chicago. To LA, here it's a little more good. Get in there, old lead foot, right? Thank God, I made it just barely. 5 minutes before plane time, I take a flight, 250, no tickets. Thank God. Get the 250 flight, Northwest, stops in Detroit, gets me to New York at 7:40. Pick up the van I got waiting there for me, left by the road crew. And I go out, pick up my wife and kids, and drive like hell to get out in New Jersey, where my brother's getting married. This is Tom Chapin, make a wish. He's been living with a gal for 4 years, just testing it out. He worked out on that. They got two kids. They got married. Actually, she had a fine early man. Fantastic gal. So, but we're late. Long Island Expressway, going about 69 out of 55. No photographers. No fan. I got my ticket. Speeding and for not changing and signaling a lane change. So, go to the wedding at 1 o'clock, finishes at about 2:15, and drive to Newark, get a plane, come out here. And if you're wondering why this concert starts at such a weird hour tonight, it's because I couldn't have made it here at 8 o'clock. I got here about 7, the plane landed about 7:40, and I got here about 8:15. And I'm ready to have a fantastic time. Some of you may or may not know, I usually perform with other people. And I always feel a little insecure with them. This is a benefit tonight. The money's going to the Performing Arts Foundation. It works with various kids and disadvantaged people in terms of certain education processes, which I won't burden you with. But anyway, you're being ripped off for a good cause. I just want you to know. But on these nights, I try not to run up expenses, and hopefully you will feel that you've had a different kind of experience. If I'm ever around with a group, come and you'll hear a different kind of thing. But I'd like to introduce him anyway, okay? It makes me feel more secure. On my left. You're right if you're facing the stage, and if you're not, congratulations, you probably got something more interesting going on. Is the guy that makes this group sound a little bit different. He's one of the finest cellists in America, and his name is Michael Masters. Behind him, right about over there, is a guy who's our lead guitarist. He started out as a divinity student, ended up going to hell. And he's now our sex symbol, Dougie Walker. Behind me, on drums, the only percussionist in America with softer cheeks than Karen Carpenter. And she sits on hers. How he feels. I see the light guy. By the way, I didn't have time for a light check. If you guys could make me look like Robert Redford, that'd be fantastic. And the sound man, I'd like my voice to sound like Gary Puckett, and my guitar to sound like Eric Clapton, okay? You got that? I hear this guy's a genius. Maybe he can do it. Over here, on bass, is a guy that sings in the bass, except when he crosses his legs to do the Hyde Park Taxi. My old friend, former boy soprano soloist at the Grace Church Episcopal Choir for Boys and Men, Big John Wallace. And last but not least in these introductions is a guy that I've played with for about 28 years now. He's figuratively, anyway. He played on Taxi and Cats in the Cradle and about everything else I recorded. He also produced the last live album that came out about a month ago. And he also played on that, plays piano, and he's going to produce the next album, which we start in about, for June 14th. What's that, about a week and a half away? My brother Steve Chapin on piano. So what's happening tonight is you're going to hear these songs sound the way they sounded when I wrote them, okay? We'll abolish this concert hall. We'll call it a living room with an awful lot of chairs and a moat. Is this because they're worried that you're going to storm the stage? If anybody wants to come up and tear my clothes off, please come. I don't mind. Sorry, sir. I think that. Two dollar coke in my hand. Listen to the music run through and out of a drowning man. 10 years ago, I first heard him singing to a screaming crazy crowd. Now there's just 13 loyal people trying to sound that loud. And I wonder, as I watch him now, why his songs don't turn me on. Got me in the music. Where has the fragile magic gone? And all the changes keep on changing. And the good old days, they say they're gone. And all the wise men and some newborn fools say that they know. But I sometimes think the difference is just the hell I think I can see. And if the only change is going on, just going on in me. And if the only change is going on, just going on in me. There I was in your Air Force, Uncle Sam, you on my brain. I tried to see myself as a sex mad savior sailing on a silver plane. I started out to do my duty, ended up just doing time. What is it about you, my mother of a country, makes so many change our minds? You had me on your honor roll, and for your dream I would die. But I would not even cross the street to help you live a life. And all my changes keep on changing. And the good old days, they say they're gone.
newborn fools say that they know what's going on. But I sometimes think the difference is just in how I think and see, and that the only change is going on or just going on in me. And that the only change is going on or just going on in me.
It causes me some problems because it's not a very economical way of writing songs, not just money-wise. I mean, they're long. And as a matter of fact, I have a congenital inability to tell a story in under 5 minutes. But every once in a while, one of my songs seems to get played on the radio. AM stations don't like to play them because they like to have things about 3 minutes long. As a matter of fact, what they play, they call them singles. And there are 45 RPM licorice pizzas that are bought by pre- or post-pubescent American females between 9 and 11. And in all honesty, I have trouble writing up to that particular age group. But every once in a while, my song does stagger around to the Hot 100 charts. As a matter of fact, this next one was on the charts, I think, for about 15 minutes. I used to play whole nights. No, hours and hours and hours and never get that much of a call. And now... Whenever you hear a performer, tell how tough it is. You know, you should in unison all shout out, "Bullshit!" This is the greatest job in the world. There's a performer who has a tough time right now. All you have to do is work at Phoenix for about 12 hours, you know, a week, 5 days. It's a great life. "Hello, honey, it's me. What did you think when you heard me back on the radio? What did the kids say when they knew it was their long-lost daddy-o? Listen to the radio, and I said, that's the place to be. And how I got the job as an FM jock, the day you married me. It was 2 kids and I was in the AM, but I just had to run around. It's been 8 years since I left you, babe. Let me tell you about what's gone down. I am the morning DJ. Come you go tell me. Wherever you may be, the great good morning voice, who's heard but never seen. Oh, if you know a 45 going on 15. The drink in the day down my last big gig, it made my voice go low. They said that they like the young sound. When they're the bass hole. So I took it on down the trucks up the hole. To the late night talk show. Now I work my way down home again. Hear the boys say, "Hello." That's how this business goes. Bum, bum, bum. I am the morning DJ. And tell me who. The bright good morning voice, who's heard but never seen. Oh, if you know the 45, going on 15. I've been making extra money doing high school sock cops.
could hear me talking to the little children and listen what they say to me. I got a smile on the top of my head, just begging for a new toupee. And there's a time around my gut from sitting on my heart, it's never gonna go away. Sometimes I get this crazy dream that I just take off in my car, but you can travel on 10,000 miles and still stay where you are. I've been thinking that I should stop this jockeying and stop that record store. Maybe I could settle down if you take me back once more. Okay, honey, I see, I guess he's better than me. Sure, girl, I understand, you don't have to worry, I'm such a happy man. W-O-L-D, W-O-L-D, W-O-L, W-O-L-D, D-D, I am the morning DJ at W-O-L-D. The bright of Montauk, who's heard but never seen. Oh, feeling no more fine, going on 15. I am the morning DJ at W-O-L-D.
It's my favorite thing of everything I've written. It's 9 minutes long, and some guys in the record company were talking about it. It'd be fantastic if this particular song could get on the radio. And I said, well, there's just no way that it would go on Top 40 radio, because it would be longer than MacArthur Park or American Pie or Papa Was a Rolling Stone or Taxi or, you know, Hey Jude, longer than that. So I said, what the hell? I have met various program directors over the past couple of years, and I think they respect some of the things I do. And so I called up a couple of them, said, listen to this song. I know I'm crazy, but if you like it, play it, and if you don't like it, throw it out the window. And I was surprised to find out that out of the 20 top stations in the country, we've got about 12 of them playing it now. Now, they're not playing it often, because, you know, putting that up, what do they call it, drive time in the morning, it goes from like 8 to 10 or something, or 7 to 9 or something, with people in their cars in the evening. They try to put a ton of ads on, but they're playing it at different weird times, daytime, nighttime. And it seems to be doing well. And I can't believe, frankly, since people that buy singles, as I say, are usually young people, really young people, I can't believe the average 10-year-old is going to go and buy A Better Place to Be. But who knows? And anyway, it's a song that's about, well, I originally wrote it about a town called Watertown, New York. It's that's just about what it deserves. I spent a week there one afternoon, and I came away with a story. It's about a little midnight watchman, a somewhat rotund waitress, and a beautiful gal that the watchman picked up one night. And as I said, it's one of the better places to be. Somebody gave me this taxi medal 2 days ago when I finally got a handicap. It was an early morning bar, and the place just opened up, and the little man come in so fast, and he started at his cups, and the brother served the whiskey. She was a big old friendly girl who tried to fight her empty nights by smiling at the world. And she said, "Hey, Bubba, it's been a while since you've been around. Where the hell you been hiding, and why you look so down?" The little man just sat there like he'd never heard a sound. The waitress, she gave out with a coffin, acted not the least, but off she spoke. Once again, she said, "I don't want to bother you, consider it's understood. I know I'm not no beauty queen, but I sure can listen good." And the little man took his drink in his hand, and he raised it to his lips. He took a couple of sips, and then he told the waitress his story. "I am the midnight watchman down in Miller's Tool and Die, and I watch the metal rusting, I watch the time go by. A week ago at the diner, I stopped to get a bite, and this here lovely lady, she sat two seats from my right. And Lord, 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 she was alright. You see, she was so damn beautiful that she could warm a winter frost. But she looked long past lonely, and well nigh unlost. Now I'm not much of a mover or a pick-em-up easy guy, but I decided to glide on over and give her one good try. And Lord, 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 she was worth the try. I was tongue-tied like a schoolboy, I stammered out some words. It did not seem to matter much, 'cause I don't think she heard. She just looked clear on through me to a space back in my head. It chained me in the silence as quietly she said, 'If you want me to come with you, then that's alright with me, 'cause I know I'm going nowhere, and anywhere's a better place to be.'" Anywhere's a better place to be. Well, I drove up to my boarding house, and I took her up to my room. And I went to turn on the only light to brighten up the gloom. But she said, "Please leave the light on. Oh, I don't mind the dark." And as the clothes all tumbled around her, I could hear my heart. The moonlight shone upon her as she lay in my bed. It was the kind of scene I only had imagined in my head.
I just could not believe it, to think that she was real. And as I tried to tell her, she said, I know just how you feel. And if you want to come here with me, then that's alright with me. Cause I've been oh so lonely, loving someone is a better way to be. Safe, I did not want to share her or dare to break the mood. So before she woke, I went out to buy us both some food. I came back with a paper bag to find that she was gone. She left a 6-word letter saying, it's time that I moved on. You know that waitress, she took her bar rag and she wiped it across her eyes. And as she spoke, her voice came out as something like a sigh. She said, I wish that I was beautiful, all that you were halfway blind. And I wish I weren't so goddamn fat. I wish that you were mine. And I wish that you'd come with me when I leave for home. For we both know all about emptiness and living all alone. And the little man looked at the empty glass in his hand, and he smiled a crooked grin. He said, I guess I'm out of gin. And I know we both have been so lonely. And if you want me to come with you, then that's all right with me. Cause I know I'm going nowhere. Where's a better place to be?
This is this next song is based on an insight that I had 2 years ago. And every once in a while, if you're lucky, sometimes you get an insight, a truth hits you in the mind in a way that alters the way you look at the world. And this one really was rather extraordinary. I suddenly realized that all of the greasy spoon restaurants in America were owned by one person. Now, this may not sound amazing to you, but I suddenly realized that it was as much of a chain as Hojo's, or Kentucky Fried Chicken, or McDonald's, or Burger King. They're clever enough to have different names, so you can't blame them. I didn't know what to do with this particular insight. Until about 6 months later, I went on a Tonight Show, and about the 12th time, and it was on, and Jack Anderson was one of the guests. And I suddenly said, And I walked over to him and said, Mr. Anderson. I'd hoped that I was going to be calling him Jack after you heard what I was going to say, but I was wrong. Mr. Anderson, I have the biggest scoop of your career. And he leaned closer. He said, Mr. Anderson, all of the greasy spoon restaurants in America are owned by Howard Hughes. He turned and walked away. I suddenly realized it was bigger than I thought. I had bought out Jack Anderson. What to do? Every once in a while you have to stand up and begin, right? I decided I was going to risk my career, my life, and write an incisive four-verse document, a delineation of the various abuses of the greasy spoon industry in America. I usually get applause at that point. As well as a political leader, I just thought, you know. And I should smile at Jimmy Carter when I do that. But actually, I'm going to have a thrilling July. I'm a Hugo delegate. I got elected in. I started out with Glenn Harris, but he didn't do too well. And then I ended up being elected as a Hugo delegate in the Great Congress. I'm going to spend 4 scenic days in Madison Square Garden in New York City, where I grew up. Anyway, maybe I should become a Republican delegate, come out to Kansas City, or maybe more fun. That's going to be wild between Ford and Reagan. Anyway, let's get back to the song. So, it's like old friend week here. I'm feeling so relaxed, I got to keep forgetting it. Very kind. So, I decided that I would write a song. And the lucky thing is my life is such that I get a chance to do a lot of research. You know, after concerts, I go out and, you know, scrounge up some food in various places. So the first verse I wrote after a concert in New York, I went to a greasy spoon in Brooklyn called Maria's Delicates in Brooklyn Heights. It's right next to on Montague Street, right next to the Hotel Basel, where you can get other things. The second verse was St. Louis. We did a gig at the Kiel Opera House. We had some great bands there. And it's a crystal burger or something, I forget the name of it. The second verse. Third verse, San Diego. Good time to play. You know, you can get people to applaud any place in the world. It's amazing. Secaucus, New Jersey! I heard that this is a wild Saturday night town. You mean this is all that's happening here today? God, we're all in trouble. We're in the Holiday Inn, right? Oh, come on, right. Anyway, maybe we should all meet at a greasy spoon after this. So, third verse. Then tragedy struck. All of a sudden, the muse or whatever left. I wasn't able to finish the song until a couple of months ago, I did a concert up in Rochester, New York. Anyway, after doing a concert, I went to a place called Jay's Diner on Route 15. You know it? It's a famous diner. And lo and behold, it's not in the men's room, Jay's Diner. A long-lost fourth verse of my greasy spoon song unfolded in front of my very eyes. Now, at times like this, as songwriters know there is a God. I finished the song. I'd like to do it for you tonight, but I've only got one requirement. You think I'm just bullshitting around? Oh, you're right. But I'm just singing. 1 minute. What I would like you to do, each of you, is to do what the great method actors do. I'd like you to close your eyes and mentally transport yourself into the favorite greasy spoon of your choice. And I'd like you to smell it now. Can you smell it? Can you taste it? You know, the roof of your mouth and the tongue, you know, that grease. Can you feel it? No. Not your neighbor's thigh, sir. Okay? Are you into it? Are you ready? This is a weird song because it's a jazz waltz. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. The old greasy spoon is a place where I eat quite a lot. They make damn good burgers, but the coffee, it ain't so hot. I am served by a man with a sandpaper grin. There's no telling where his 10 fingers have been. It's the old greasy spoon, it's well known as a very inspired. So you have been there, huh? I come in fast at night and I catch the best of the crowd. There's that little old lady who's laughed at for crying out loud. But she pays for her food with a counterfeit bill. She glides out the door past the boy dressed to kill. It's a motorbike cowboy whose hair has more grease than the grill. There are flies all over the counter and roaches on the floor. You know it's time, leave your illusions behind when you walk through that dirty glass door. The queen at the counter eyes his fried eggs in distaste. Then he orders some fruit juice before he returned to the chase. The maid in the back booth is picking her nose. Does she or doesn't she? Everyone knows it's the old greasy spoon, the place where the real best set goes. Now here it is. Thank you, Rochester Burst. And once again, the truth is stranger than fiction. I go to the restroom and there are some names on the wall. There are graphic descriptions and all of the numbers to call. You can't call it dirty, you can't call it clean. It's sort of a basic American latrine. I go to the head, but there are 4 legs in the stall. You could say in the bathroom that someone was having a ball. It's the old greasy spoon. Ah, it's the old greasy spoon. There's things in the French fries. It's the old greasy spoon. So please hold those fries. I'm gonna do something. Old John Joseph was a man with 2 first names. They left him in the railroad yard when they took away the trains. All the one run a week comes on roaring down that line. So all they got to worry about is time. And I come by in the evening to hear about where he's been. He's
says, come on, sit down, kid, where shall I begin? Start telling me the stories of the glories of his past. But he always says the story of his chorus for the rest. And he says, my chorus coming. No more sad stories coming. Midnight, moonlight, morning glories coming on to your girl. And like I told you, when she holds you, she unfolds you in her world. I was quite surprised to find out all the places that he knew. So I asked the townsfolk if his stories were true. Well, they said old John was born here. He's lived here all his life. Never had a woman, let alone a wife. And very soon you'll find out, as you check around, that no one named Corey's ever lived in this town. So I chided the old man about the truth that I had heard. Well, he smiled and said, reality is only just a word. Can't you see my chorus coming? No more sad stories coming. Midnight, moonlight, morning glories coming on to your girl. And like I told you, when she holds you, she unfolds you in her world. I came by one evening, but I did not hear my shouts. I looked in the window and I saw the fire was out. When he would not wake up, I paused in the door and I found that old John Joseph would tell stories no more. There was a scene at the graveyard, just three of us were there. There was me and the grave digger, and we heard the parson's prayer. He said, we need not grieve for this man. For we know that God cares. They put the cold dirt over him, left me on my own. And when at last I looked up, I saw I was not alone. So I asked her, are you a relative? And said he had a peaceful end. That's when she said, my name is Corey. You can say I'm just a friend. Chorus coming. No more sad stories coming. Midnight, moonlight, morning glories coming on to your girl. And like I told you, when she holds you, she unfolds you in her world. Well, that's the old man's story. I'm glad you came tonight. You see, you busted down old railroad yard. Sure makes a lovely sight. You may wonder why a young man would work out here alone. The job pays enough to keep some flesh on my bones. And I confess I get to missing the old man a bit. And there's one other reason I guess I could admit. Can't you see my chorus coming? No more sad stories coming. A midnight, moonlight, morning glories coming on to your girl. And like he told me, when she holds me, she enfolds me.
This is another one of these strange story songs that I come up with. I'd sort of like to tell you the gestation of it. I was on my way up to Ithaca, New York, with my ex. I can't call it. When you bust out of school twice, is it your alma mater? I bust out of Cornell University twice, once in architecture, once in philosophy. And I was on my way back to a concert there about 3 months ago. And I was listening to the radio, the news, driving up. And I got into a rather strange frame of mind, listening to all the political stuff. And this is, by the way, pre-Wayne Hayes and all that stuff. Well, you'll see what it relates to in a minute in the song. And I come into this little town of Owego, New York.
Owego.
There's a sign in the middle of town, which is, you know, it's another blink town here, you blink in your throat. But there was a sign that said, Owego Free Academy, with an arrow. And I said to myself, you know, I bet you it costs money to go to the Owego Free Academy. I never did find that out, but anyway, I'm just thinking about it. And about 15 miles farther on, I came to a little one-horse town, one streetlight, one post office, one bar, one house, one fire hydrant, one dog, you know. And it was called Candor, New York, population 907. And I said to myself, I bet you the mayor of Candor lies. So I wrote a song about it. Are you all making up stories in your head?
Yes.
Okay, well this is the one I made up, okay? In the little town of Candor, in the last year of my youth, I learned the final lesson of the meaning to the truth. My father was a farmer, he'd go till it in the ground. My mother was a neighbor, she'd go visiting the ground. But I didn't care, for I had found the answer to a flower boy's lonely prayer. She was the daughter of the mayor. The mayor fought my courtship, for he made other plans. He saw her married to a better man than a boy with farmer's hands. I said, I hate your father, it's so hard not to strike him. She said, you know I love you, because you're so much like him. And so when come sneaking in the evening, there she'd stand a-crying in the dawn as I was leaving. The mayor of Candor lied, when he offered me his only daughter. The mayor of Candor tried to take her off across the water. What a thing to do to a young man in love. And what a thing to do to your daughter. One day with father on his tractor and mother off again, I go to find the mayor to work out what I can. But he is not at his office, he is not at his home. When I find him in the countryside, he is not alone. He's holding a woman, and imagine my surprise as she jumps back from his arms and look into my mother's eyes. The mayor of Candor lied. My thoughts of outrage, embarrassment and pain were washed away by what then went roaring through my brain. My mayor's at my mercy, and I hear my own voice say, your run for re-election, sir, is 1 month away. And the world will never know of what I've seen here, sir, but I'll be with your daughter, is my meaning clear, sir. The mayor of Candor lied when he offered me his only daughter. The mayor of Candor tried to take her up across the water. What a thing to do to a young boy in love. And
what a thing to do to your daughter. Well, my mother looks in horror at the compromise we made, but the mayor's rueful smile said this piper must be paid. I had a month of joy in heaven from this deal I made in hell. What was to happen then, my friend, the prophet could not tell. And the victory celebration, the mayor takes his family on a month-long foreign vacation. Oh, Colleen, you know how much I love. Summer follows spring, so does the winter follow fall. The day that they return, I stand waiting in the road. I watch the car drive up, I watch the passengers unload. Of course she wasn't there, of course I should have known. The mayor says that she has stayed, the decision was her own. He says she's finishing her schooling on an unseen foreign shore. And I'll tell you very frankly, boy, you'll not see her anymore. The mayor of Candlelight, when he offered me his only daughter, the mayor of Candle tried to take her up across the water. What a thing to do to a young man in love. What a thing to do to your daughter. Well, I spit out my hatred, my fury and his lies. But he says you tried to blackmail me, you're just as bad as I. Go on up to your damnedest, boy, throw your mother to the streets. You know it's been too many years I've had to be discreet. And as he stands there saying, we're just two of a kind, it hits me like a thunderbolt exploding in my mind. As I look into his leering, aged, wrinkled mirror of my own face, he laughs and sneers and says, of course, dear son, where do you think you came from in the first place? The mayor of Candlelight, when he offered me his only daughter, the mayor of Candlelight tried to take her up across the water. What a thing to do to a young man in love, and what a thing to do.
do one more song before we do Bummer and the first half. What I'm going to do at halftime, since there's absolutely nothing backstage to go back to, I'm going to take the microphone, sit right there, we'll put the house lights up. Anybody who wants to talk about anything, fine. And I have any questions about anything. Anybody wants to go outside, go to the bathroom, get toked up, whatever. Feel free, I won't be insulted. We'll do that for about 10, 15 minutes, and then we'll get back to music, okay? That's a good suggestion, except that I have not learned anything. He's in the last 3 or 4 months, he's been writing some incredible stuff. I think he's going to be doing an album with Cash Money West. That'll be out in there. All the stuff I make a wish, I write, but Tom changed it. And sometimes I don't recognize it. But I'll, later on the show, I'll do a Circle, which is a song I wrote for Tom. Where'd you hear Tom sing? Besides, I make a wish. What? That's right. Thank you. McComb, did you say? Oh. He sang at your home? This is a song about probably the most impressive thing I've done in my life. I've been married 7 years and I've got a 15-year-old daughter. She's actually about 15 going on 30. She's an incredible gal because Jamie's, when you need her to be solid, she's right there. I mean, I could say Jamie's, Sandy and I go on for a week, take care of the house, and we could walk out the door literally at that moment, and you come back and be in better shape than you left her. And if you ask her that. At the same time, when you don't need her to be, you know, a rock, she can be the most little, wonderful little girl. It's, you know, she's incredible. Was a comedian-like entity. This is a song that's too for and about her. It's, I think some of you gals can think back a couple of years to when you were going through all kinds of changes. It's also a, sort of like a companion piece to Cats in the Cradle, because it's sort of the same subject from a different point of view. The extraordinary thing, if I was just talking about this before the show and an interviewer, the extraordinary thing for a songwriter about life is that there's so many ironies. You can never run out of material. I mean, opposite things can be true, like too many cooks spoil the broth and many hands make light work, right? They're both true, they're both opposite. Think about it. But anyway, this is a song for Jamie, or Tangled Up Puppet. I'm a tangled up puppet, spinning round in knots. The more I see what used to be, the less of you I've got. There was a time that you curled up in my lap like a child. You cling to me smiling, your eyes wide and wild. Now you slip through my arms, wave a passing hello. Twist away and toss a kiss, laughing as you go. You used to say, read me a story and sing me songs of love. For you a princess paradise on the wings of a dove. Now I'll chase you and tease you, trying to remake you my own. But you just turn away and say, please leave me alone. And I'm a tangled up puppet, all hanging in your strings. I'm a butterfly in a spider's web, fluttering my wings. And the more that I keep dancing and spinning round in knots, the more I see what used to be and the less you have got. You are a drawer full of makeup and rinses and things. You keep changing your moves,
like your earrings and rings. But tonight while we play tag for 5 minutes in the yard, well, just for a moment, I caught you off guard. And I'm a tango, a puppet, all hanging in your strings. I'm a butterfly in a spider's web, fluttering my wings. And the more that I keep dancing and spinning round and on, the more I see what used to be, and the less of you I've got. Put down your anxious secret bones and roll just for your dreams. You don't find time to talk to me about the things you need. Do, 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 do. What I mean is, I have watched you take shape from a jumble of parts and find the grace and form of a fine work of art. Hey, you, my brand new woman, newly come into your own. Don't you know that you don't need to grow up alone?